the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. 2 Peter, chapter number 3. We'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in 2 Peter, chapter number 3. When you're there, say amen. Peter said, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both." Said, "I wrote both of them to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Knowing this first, he said, I want you to know about this thing first of all. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you for standing this morning of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the blessed hope that we have. Lord, of that of Calvary where you took my place. Lord, you took everyone's place in this world that would believe you by faith. Help us now in the preaching time. Touch our voice, touch our body, touch our mind, but God, most of all, touch our hearts. Help us now. I'm a needy preacher. And I pray you get the honor and the glory out of this service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. This message has been stirring in my heart this week. And out of verse number 1, he said, now this second epistle, Peter had already written one as he was moved by the Holy Ghost. He said, now, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind. I'd like to preach this morning on some things to get stirred up about. I think that we live in a very time of complacency. We live in a church age of the Laodicean church age where there's a great formality of going to church, but there's really not a lot of people really going to church. There's a lot of buildings, but many buildings are simply men's campaigns that have an agenda. And I want to say this morning, I do have an agenda. And my agenda is that old-time religion and old-fashioned preaching and singing and going to a choir can still build a church in these last days till Jesus comes for us. Now, I'm real considered about the crowd that I'm preaching to this morning. But it doesn't take you much to get stirred at a ball game. But in the same way at the house of God, there's some things that we ought to be stirred about in our lives. Now, first of all, you'll notice he's writing, we ought to be stirred about the assurance of our Scriptures. I'm glad that there's not one mistake in this King James Bible. You say, well, preacher, we need a new Bible. No, we need to live out of the one that God wrote. And it is the Bible of our day and our time. It's a proven track record. And I don't need a new Bible. You say, well, now, all of them hard words, they offend people. Well, honey, just let the hit dog holler. That's all I know to say. But certainly, we need to be sure up about the assurance of Scriptures. I'm glad I got my Bible. And I'm glad it's not up in the back seat of my car getting sun bleached every week and I'm hunting it on Sunday. I'm glad I know where my Bible is. Amen. And so we ought to be stirred up by the assurance of Scriptures. Look what he wrote in verse number 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, first of all, the Bible is a perfect book. It has no errors in this book. If I thought this book had one error, then it would mean it was full of errors. But the Bible teaches us that it is a perfect book. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture, not just the ones that you want to live by, but all of them, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And I can tell you why a lot of these new phony baloney churches are not teaching any doctrine to their people. Because if your people's not taught doctrine, they know the difference between falsehood and truth. We need Bible doctrine preached in our churches today. Bible doctrine. And so he says it is profitable for doctrine. And look, it's profitable for reproof. Somebody said, well, preacher, you stepped on my toes. Well, I was aiming a lot higher than that. I was plugging in at your heart. So certainly, he says, for reproof and for correction. Look for instruction in righteousness. Boy, we ought to get stirred about the assurance of the Scriptures. Our Bible is being attacked. And I'm going to tell you what, if it's ever been a time when God's people need to stand up and get stirred in our hearts and in what we're doing about the Word of God. Somebody better hold on to this or there's not going to be nothing left for a generation coming along. Now just because our leadership in our country has left the pages of this book, it's not took our God by surprise. And this Bible still will do to live by, to walk by, and to leave by. And I'm going to tell you, the assurance of Scriptures will be stirred up about the Bible's a perfect book. The Bible's a prophetic book. In Micah chapter number 5, there were some over 300 prophecies fulfilled before the New Testament. And in Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Now, the Bible's a perfect book. The Bible's a prophetic book. But I want to say in Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, the Bible is a preserved book. Boy, I'm glad that I have the Word of God in my hand this morning. And the old prophet Isaiah was writing, look what he said in Isaiah 55 and verse number 11 about God. God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. If you want to know what God's got to say about something, read his book. He said, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I'm glad that the Word gets the job done. We don't have to turn to the entertainments of this world. This Bible builds faith and builds His church. And I sure am glad that it does not go out void. A lot of times, preachers, we preach and say, well, we didn't see nothing happen there. Well, I've noticed this, church. God's doing a whole lot more when we're not looking than what we know He's a-doing. So I sure am glad that I can be stirred this morning about the assurance of Scriptures. Then notice secondly, not only should we be stirred about the assurance of our Scriptures, but we ought to be stirred up about the acceptance of the scoffers. Look what he said now in verse number 3. Knowing this, first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Look that word up, it's false teachers. They shall come walking after their own lust. In other words, they've got a lust out in front of them, and they're walking toward their lust. And you better be careful, or they'll take a crowd right in behind them toward their lust and toward their agenda. Now, we ought to be stirred up about these scoffers. You'll notice this in 1 John, in 1 John chapter number 2. Turn to the right in your Bible now. 1 John 2. Look at verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. As you've heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now, watch this, there are many Antichrists. Well, what is Antichrist? They're anti-God. They don't want Jesus about nothing. They do not give Jesus His perfect place in order. The Holy Spirit wrote in the Bible, He said you'll know when the Spirit has come because He will exalt the Son and He'll lead and guide us into all truth. You say, well, preacher, what is an Antichrist? The Bible said there are many. It's all of those that oppose Christ as our Savior. He says this, now watch. He said, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. For they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? I'm going to say something publicly. Joel Osteen is a liar. He's a liar. And the reason I say he's a liar is because my Bible says he's a liar. And I upset some people the other week where I was preaching that confronted me after the sermon. But let me tell you something. When a man blatantly says the apostles are antiquity and they're outdated, and they made mistakes about the gospel, and that heaven is a universalism God. Let me tell you, honey, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus to get to heaven, or hell will be your home. And I don't give a rip how many he's pastoring. I don't give a rip how many books he's writing, honey. The truth is the truth, and let us just stand on the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. I look at Joel Osteen, I want to go get another haircut. Some of you don't like that because you haven't been taught the truth. I had a man come up to me after service this week and he got upset. I said, hang on, sir. Let me share with you an editorial that was published nationally about where he blatantly refused the Word of God to be truth. Honey, I don't care how big a man gets, how many books he's writing, how many people that he's leading off to hell, this Bible's going to stand when this world is a-burning. And shame on any preacher that won't teach his people the truth. If your children's going to heaven, they're going by the way of the cross. That's the only way to heaven. And my Lord, Brother Mike, I'd hate to know I stood in the judgment seat of God. There I stood before God, and I didn't teach our people what this Bible said. Amen. Some of you don't like it, but they wouldn't have signed down here said a politician was preaching this morning. And I don't intend on being mean. I don't intend on being unkind. I'm just telling you what, honey. There's some antichrists in these last days. And if you're going to sit under the preaching that God bids me to preach, you're going to be educated about how to get to heaven. Because eternity's too long to be wrong. Now, he said this. Who is a liar in verse 22? Let's just let the Bible call them what they are. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. that denieth the Father and the Son. Now the acceptance of the scope, be careful that you don't accept their doctrine. See, this is our problem in America. Don't offend nobody now. And some of y'all think, well, why would we want to go to church where a preacher would expose that? Why wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want your children and your whole family to know how to get to heaven and what's going on in these last days? Jesus wrote about it. And if it's in this Bible, I ain't got to apologize to preach it, honey. I didn't write this Bible. I just read out of it loud. Brother Mike, I hope by the time I'm 80, I've got a gravel voice that sounds like a kicking mule tied up in a barn. I mean, I hope my voice is so deep and so loud. Can I tell you, honey, the difference in preaching and teaching? Preaching is yelling and teaching is telling. And I ain't telling nothing. I'm a yelling this morning. There's a lot of antichrist in this day and hour that we live. And if I hadn't had this surgery and this wound on my neck, I'd be screaming a lot louder than what I'm screaming. Maybe that's what the devil wants to slip me from ear to ear. Then I'm going to get somebody to do sign language. Well, the denial, the acceptance of scoffers. Don't accept junk. You don't have to accept heresy. Get stirred up about it. Let somebody know the difference. Now, the denial. Then 2 John 7. Turn over to the right of your Bible there in 2 John. Verse number 7. Get stirred up about the assurance of Scriptures. Get stirred up about the acceptance of scoffers. Second Epistle of John. Verse number 7. If you're there, say amen. Help me preach this morning. For many deceivers, not only do they deny, they deceive. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You know what it said? Anybody don't believe in Jesus, they not saved. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10. For if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him. Now watch this. Receive him not into your house, even by the TV. You better watch what your TV's on. Oh, preacher, I love his inspirational speeches. They're lies. Jesus is not an option to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And when a man blatantly says that heaven was created for all, and yes, it was. See, the devil always give you a little bit of truth. But here's the lie. And everybody's going. What happened to repentance? What happened to God's Son hung on a cross? This young man preached a powerful message this morning in Sunday school. What happened? Was all of that in vain? No, it wasn't. God knows what He's doing, and He put in these pages how to get us there. And if you don't go there by the map, you don't wind up there. He said, don't even let them come in your house. That crowd come up to your doorstep trying to promote another gospel. He said, don't you cook them cookies and milk and get them to sit down. You tell them, hit the road. Jack. And don't come back up in here no more, no more, no more. I was cutting my grass one day and Jehovah's Witnesses pulled up in the yard. Made me take my mower out of gear. Cut it off. Get off. And they handed me a little leopard looking magazine. I said, you Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
I said, you're in the wrong driveway. See ya. I said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me. He's my Savior. And He's coming back for me one glorious day. And I'll not take any other doctrine in my life. You say, you're closed-minded. Thank you. You're narrow-minded. You better read this Bible. Narrow is the way, and few be there that find it. It's not a universalism gospel. You must believe in Christ. Repent of your sins and be born again from heaven's world. The acceptance of scoffers, you better learn where to stand up. The denial, the deceptions. Then look at this about the duties. Titus 1, verse number 10. Titus 1, verse number 10. I get so tired of wimpy Baptists that won't stand for nothing. Well, preacher, if you don't back off this kind of preach, we can't build a church. Oh, we can't. Well, let me tell you, God is building churches for me and you ever come along. Titus 1, verse number 10. Watch this, verse 7. For a bishop, that word's overseer, he must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed. I wish this verse wasn't in there. Not soon angry. Not given to wine. I wish this wasn't in there. No striker. Because hey, some jowls I'd love to pop sometime. Now I know y'all got your little halos turned up, but I'm going to tell you, some things I just don't like taking and setting down. This verse has put me in here to help me and help our church. I'm going to try my best to live by it. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Holding fast the faithful word that he's been taught, he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of circumcision. Watch this. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre's sake. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather live in a turnip green patch, give me a jar of salt, and I'd eat turnips before I'd hoodwink a people and get a payday for telling lies. Filthy lucre. Look what it says. Now he said, verse 15. Let's get verse number 12. He says, they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. He's saying, don't tiptoe around issues. Tell the people how the cow eats the cabbage. Now look what he says. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate or degenerate. Natural men know nothing about the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be stirred up about the assurance of our Scriptures. Hey, young people, this Bible's still right. Well, this Bible's wonderful. It's a talking Bible. It talks to me. It's a mirror. It lets me see how I'm doing, and sometimes I fall real short to this Bible. But just because I can't live up to it every minute of life don't mean I'm going to throw it on a dresser and hunt me an oven. I need this in my life. Do you know what kind of heathens we'd be if we didn't have the preached Word of God? Come in, we'll sing a couple songs, have a poem, and go home. No conviction around the building, no place. I need convictions in my life. I need somebody preaching to me. My conscience, let me tell you something. I don't like my conscience bothering me. Something happened this week down there in the Jonesville Curve. I'd love to have seen some of y'all. I was pumping gas and all of a sudden I heard the school bus blowing its horn. I thought they was blowing at me and I turned. But there was a man come up the road and he had a delivery truck and the door rolled up and there were some hand trucks fell out on the center line. I'm not talking about average hand trucks, Brother Larry. I'm talking about nice hand trucks. Those that they got the rubber tires and big lips. And you know, we just got some new property and I want to move some on rocks because I can't pick up like I used to. I got to thinking, oh Lord, ain't that a blessing? That's sent from heaven to help this preacher move some landscaping rocks. It was one. And so I run out there and got it and I run to the back of my truck. And I was pumping gas. I said, I hope nobody turns around. I opened down my tailgate and I put that hand truck in there. And guess what? I closed the tailgate so nobody could see it. I know none of y'all do that. I was pumping gas. About that time I put in all I could afford. Somebody say amen. And all of a sudden, you know, I wanted something to drink. I said, well, if I go in that store, somebody may come back a hunting for them. So I think I'll just go on. The Holy Ghost said, no, go get you a drink. So I walked in, got me one of them good cold lemonades. Amen. It'd do you good the way your face all pruned up. A lemonade would help you this morning. I was in there fixing to pay for it, and then come a boy, throw that door open, his eyes this big, he said, has anybody found any hand trucks? I said, yeah, they're out there in the back of that ambulance. Go get them. What are you saying? Without preaching, I'd have had me some hand trucks this morning. I'd hate to know I went and laid down with them hand trucks in the bed with me that night. It's bad enough to lay there with a mad woman, much less a set of hand trucks. Somebody say amen right there. I hate it when that conscience. Son, since I've had surgery, that's a pretty good bark, ain't it? I need preaching, Brother Dwayne, in my life. I need it to tell me how to treat my wife, how to raise my children, how to love my neighbor, how to honor my God, how to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I need preaching in my life. Because this flesh is wicked, boy. Man, I got saved in 81. I done been saved a long time, over 30 years. This stuff's still wicked. Oh, you little Baptist do-gooder. Well, I wouldn't have kept them hand trucks. I didn't keep them neither, but I wanted to. I'm going to give you a perfect example this week. Me and Brother Miles was in Rome, Georgia. Pulled in a Bojangles. Got me one of them chicken biscuits. Praise God. I wish they'd moved to Bowden, Georgia. We ordered our biscuits and drinks. Little girl, handed her 20. It was $9 and some odd cents. She handed me a 10, a 5, and some change. Now, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but our meal nearly cost $10, so that means I don't get more than $10 handed back through the window. I pulled up and I said, wait a minute. There's them hand trucks done appeared again. Some of y'all said, well, gas is so high, we're just going to ease on out. Help us $5 on my trip. I backed up, picked on the window. Here she comes, attitude. Like she done left my jelly out of the bag. She said, what'd I do? I said, hon, you give me $5 too much. My Lord, it was like an airplane landed in the park. What'd you just say? You giving me money back? I said, I'd hate for you to check up short tonight. And ask Brother Mike. That little old girl didn't say thank you. She didn't say see you. She didn't say, you want another cold drink? She just stood there. And I told Brother, I said, Brother Mike, I could have told you before I handed it to her. She wouldn't have said thank you. But let me tell you this morning in closing this sermon. Whether she says thank you or not, there's a God in heaven that's a seeing about us and He wants us to do right. Lord, if I'd have kept that $5, I'd have had 4 flat tires on the way, huh? Me and Brother Mike heard something rattling the old truck. We're coming back home. I knowed. I was about to have a breakdown. Something was flopping on that truck. I pulled over the side and looked. Just a little piece of plastic holding down. I pulled out that butt pocket knife. Somebody say amen. I cut that down. I said, praise God, I ain't got no flat tire. You say, why didn't you say it? If I'd have kept that $5, somebody had been coming after that preacher down in Rome, Georgia. You think God don't do little things. Boy, He does for me. I hate changing tires, especially when you ain't got no spare. We ought to get stirred up. We ought to get stirred up about the assurance of our Scriptures. We ought to get stirred up about the acceptance of the scoffers. And lastly, in verse number 8, look what he says. We ought to get stirred up about the amazement of our salvation. Boy, God has been good to us. You'll see in 2 Peter 3, and he says this in verse number 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to close with this thought. I seen something this week preaching, and God rung it in my heart to say it here this morning, and I'm going to trust Him for it. Now, we ought to be stirred up about this thing of the amazement of salvation. First of all, how we should live. Look what he said there in that text. He said, I want you to know. He said that in verse number 11, he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Now, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation? That's lifestyle and godliness. Let me ask y'all something. What happened to right living? Look, we make mistakes. That's why we can confess our sins to the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. We ought to keep ourselves right with God and our neighbor. He said, what persons we ought to be. He's talking about this amazement of salvation and how we should live. Then verse 12, he tells us how we ought to look. He says, looking forward and hastening to the coming of the day of God. Look this, when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It's all going to burn up. You say, you mean to tell me you're one of them old-timey preachers and you're that narrow-minded that God's going to burn this world up? He sure is. Don't you be driving your tent stakes down here too deep, neighbor. It's all going to go up in smoke one of these days. So, it's how we should live, where we should look. But lastly, how we should leave. This is what he said, and it meant something to him for the Holy Ghost to pin it down. He said, now, how that you should leave. He said this, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Verse 18. No, I want to get 17. Sure does tie this sermon in a good close. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. I want to read this verse right here. Miss Sherry, if you'd come this morning, I want you to play. And I sure hope this verse will speak to somebody right here this morning. Turn with me now to Acts chapter number 16. I was preaching out of there one night this week. Brother Mike, this is one of my favorite sermons that I get to preach out around in churches. But I've never seen this come to light like it did for me the other night. Look, if you would, in Acts 16. Paul and Silas in the midnight hour, Brother Joe, remember they was locked up in prison? They went to praying, and then they went to singing. And so all of a sudden, the keeper of the prison had locked them up. God sent an earthquake. He heard these boys singing the right kind of song, and he got under conviction, Brother Lee. And so in Acts 16, in verse number 28, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." He called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And this is what I'm tore up about, verse 30. Look at it. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And here it is. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house." Brother Vince, I think you'll get this. Listen. They said, "Believe on. Don't stop." Keep on believing. Said you started believing on Him. Why do you give up on Him now? You think He can't fix nothing? He can fix anything. Just keep on believing. Just keep on believing. I mean, when doubt comes, push it out of the way and just keep on believing. Don't even believe on the church. Don't believe on the preacher. Don't believe on your neighbor. Just keep on believing. On. Everything's on Him. Everything. This church is on Him. The success. I'm talking about if this thing goes any further, it'd be all because of the lovely Lamb of Glory that come and died for our sins. Some of you's marriage, you think it's way too far gone. Don't give up on it. Just keep on believing. Believe on. Believe on. Keep. Some of you got children way up. Just keep on believing on Him. Believe on. Brother Tim in the choir, just believe on. Miss Sherry in the play, just believe on. Miss Jennifer in the ministry, just believe on. Just keep on. Don't quit believing. Brother Randy, believe on. Deacons, just believe on. Brother Jared, just believe. When you're down there sending them cars and the devil's whispering, just keep on believing. Just believe on. Just keep on. Brother Jerry, when you're digging that ditch and the devil's on your shoulder, just believe on. Just keep on believing. Just keep on believing. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming yonder in the morning. Don't know what you need this morning, but my sister's playing. I want to open this altar. If you need any help in your life, you come. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, it'd be a good morning for you to come. And trust Him with everything that you need. Just believe on Him and He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. Just keep on believing. Keep on believing. Oh, weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming yonder in the morning. Believe on. Lord, I'm believing You this morning. I'm believing Your Word. And I'm believing Your ways. I'm believing Your truth. I'm believing on, Lord. I'm not stopping. I'm believing on. By Your good mercy and Your grace, help me, Lord, to be a preacher that reminds You. Fill me with Your Spirit. Cleanse me from all of my sin. Help me, God, to be the pastor I need to be. Help our flock. Protect us from the wicked one.